Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Peace, peace. Welcome back. It's your favorite twins, Ariam
and Yodit.
And you're tuned in to DeSoul Radio, powered by Full Service Radio. And we're broadcasting live from the Line Hotel, D.C.
That's right. Every Sunday here at 2 EST, your girls here talk all things music, culture, and everything under the sun. And today we are blessed with another guest. We're
Summer's
so excited.
Been great. We've had great guests so
I know.
Far.
We've had great guests this season. I'm very excited. But we've got Damo in the building.
Pew, pew, pew. Like air horns.
Yes. Ooh, yes. Hey. Yeah. All of that. And it's a big deal because Damo, ladies and gentlemen, is a very, very busy lady.
Okay? Oh, my God.
The fact that we got you
busy
to,
ladies.
No. No one is as busy as Damo.
She's
the epitome of booked and busy. Okay, this is what booked and busy looks like. Here.
I'm just following wherever my check is.
Yes. As you should. Okay.
A word.
Literally.
Yes.
Wherever my check is, that's where I'm finna be.
Yes. That's a good, indicator where you should be and what you need to do. So could you describe to the people what Damo does?
Because
it's a lot.
Because you do a lot of things. And you wear a lot of hats. But
first and foremost, I am a DJ. Mm-hmm. I am also a music curator. So I do a playlist specifically for Apple Music that mm-hmm. I do weekly. I also lead Girla. Mm-hmm. Girla.
Girla.
Say it the right way. Girla.
You gotta lean into that.
Yes. Which is a women-centric art and music collective that we're now pivoting into being a agency.
Ooh. Okay.
Yes.
Congrats.
Congrats are not in order yet. But I'll let y'all congratulate me once we
because you're going
make the turn because a lot of things come in 2020.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to it. It's a lot of work, but yeah. We're gonna get it done. But in the nutshell, I think that's all of the things.
I mean, I remember when you were mentioning to me about it just being like an event or like a party. Like
yes,
it wasn't even where it is now. So that was.
I mean, we're
like
just celebrating a year.
Yeah, a year ago, right?
Yeah, we're just celebrating a year.
So seeing how much you all have evolved in a year.
Girla.
Literally.
Literally.
But yeah, that's really dope. I love seeing that growth within a year. And, you're definitely on the way to becoming an agency, which I like to hear. It's more than just a platform. It's a whole entire thing,
Mm-hmm. It's going to be many things, for sure. It's definitely going to have multiple functions.
Right.
So, I mean, it's evolved mm-hmm. over time because I didn't plan for none of this.
Right.
So I kind of have just let things happen naturally. Mm-hmm. And then when they start to move a direction, then I put the fire behind.
Right. So I have a question, though. So before we kind of move forward, for those who don't know what Girla is.
Yes.
Can you just kind of brief them?
So we are a women-centric art music collective that started as a party last summer. Mm-hmm. The reason it began was because I just didn't feel like I was seeing enough diversity in music in social spaces I was in. And also, I just really felt like I was often a token on a lineup of men DJs. Mm-hmm. And that was annoying to me. I felt like, women can hold down a party just as well. And also there are no, in DC, cause we have a lot of collectives, mm-hmm. quote unquote, mm-hmm. That really do run the social scene. And all of them are led by men. They mm-hmm. may have female or women team members, but mm-hmm. none of them are women led. And it's interesting because their demographic are young Black girls between the ages of 21 and 35. And that is us.
We
and
carry the parties.
Yes,
literally.
We do. We absolutely
like
carry
without
those parties.
Us, there would not
there would be
no event.
Party. There would be no party. Mm-hmm. So and I noticed that and just felt like, this is a void. And also in those spaces, a lot of things happen that aren't safe or mm-hmm. conducive for us to have fun. So mm-hmm. That was another element that we just slowly added in multiple elements. Like our party had an art piece where we were definitely bringing in like small activations in the beginning that really have become specifically digital activations now, just for the ability to move them from one venue to another. And then like that safe space value, we promote it. It's not something that we just like talk amongst ourselves about. It's something that is actively promoted in our marketing of our events. Like, right. If you come in here with some goofy shit, you finna get put out. And it's just lends itself, because I recently had an experience like that where someone like violated my space and essentially like sexually assaulted me, you know, while I was at a party. Don't be sorry. Honestly, like, I don't even want anyone apologizing for this other person's like behavior. It's like something that we all deal with. I know that you guys have dealt with it. Like literally anywhere we go, it doesn't, it doesn't matter. I could have been walking into this hotel and something could have happened like that. So it's just like, you know, we don't need to apologize. We just need to make men more aware of themselves and each other.
Absolutely.
And I felt like I'm pivoting into a whole nother direction right now.
No, this is very relevant.
I think we can circle back to that. But in a nutshell, like, that's how Girlas started.
Right.
Just with that party. And then because of the way we activated it with the art and with it being women centric and women of color centric and then the diverse music, we just garnered so many other things that we were already planning to do. Mm-hmm. And then that led us into doing workshops and doing that were either music related or design related, DJ related. And so from our own connections as individuals versus as well as the brand that's started to, you know, just have its own thing with Girla, we just get all of these different relationships. So we've been at American University, we've talked at Howard, we have done workshops with Apple, we work with Art Lab,
the Carnegie Library little exhibit,
and we've worked with the Hirshhorn. So you know, our portfolio is vastly different than all these other collectives at this point. So that's what's pivoting us, because we end up getting contracted to do a lot of other things, just based on our team, our skill set, and how we do things. So now,
take a deep breath.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's
that was like word info dump.
No, we need it's actually necessary. Why you're
here. This is exactly why you're here, let the people know.
It's necessary because there's a lot happening with Girla, right? So like from the outside perspective, it's like, you know, I'm seeing all these things happen, but it's always good to have like a understanding of
the process, because I think what a lot of people do with event production, everyone, we're in a time, like you were saying, where like collectives exist and like events are being produced at a rate, but there's not, because there's so many that are out there, it's hard to determine intentions.
Yes. I think a lot of them lack substance.
Right. And so I was thinking when you were saying, explaining the process, like, I think this stuff matters because a lot of people are just out here willy-nilly producing events that don't really add any value to the culture. And I think I love that, because I love that with Girla, for instance, it's like, obviously it's like an event series and you're doing parties and stuff like that, but it's more than just that.
Right.
There has to be some sort of like an extension of what the real purpose or end goal is. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
And y'all killing it. That
I'm excited to see what the future looks like.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that this is like in the last few years, just stepping into, I don't even want to say feminism, because I feel like Black women have such a hard time with that title, just because it's
white feminism.
It's white feminism, and we don't really, we're not typically included in that. They're just kind of starting to include us in it, but that's really what it is, right?
Like
it's, it's feminism, but it's also like feminism in our view, which is nuanced, right? Because feminism for us can look like we might shake our ass to a really fucked up rap song.
You got your girls, cheering you on in that scene.
You know, that doesn't mean that we're welcoming some unwanted attention, or you can come out with however you want to dress. So, girl, if you want to come out with it all out, sis, I advocate whatever you want to look like. But that also doesn't mean that we're inviting anything unwanted, because that's like
absolutely
just however you want to be in that. And I think for us, like, Black feminism looks a lot different because of those cultural nuances that I quite frankly am not necessarily trying to run away from. Like I enjoy every spectrum of trap music, you know what I'm saying? And even if that involves like stuff that isn't as, I don't know, femme forward, but I also don't always include myself in those women that whomever they're talking about. The reality is for those rappers, they are encountering women like that. You know what I'm saying? I know they're not me. So it's not that I agree with the messaging, because I don't necessarily, yeah. but I also can't fault that person for their perspective and however they've experienced people in their own way, and then however they express it in their music. It's just like, the beat goes. What do you mm-hmm. want from me?
Right. Right. That's literally what a lot of true feminists actually deal with on a day-to-day. They want to go out, you want to shake your ass. Maybe you don't necessarily agree with what that rapper is saying.
And right.
it's okay, because you still respect yourself.
Right.
Like, and you still respect your sisters. Like, right. I feel like there's...
And that goes in so many different directions. Like, you can be Christian. You can go to church on Sunday, sis. Right. And be out with us until 3 a.m. the night
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
Drinking and doing whatever you was doing. It's just like, still, but you know, can still have God. Like, right. you can, whatever you want.
Yeah, it takes all forms. Yeah.
So what's dope about Girl, like, because you touched a little bit about it, is that it also encompasses art. And you all were featured it was a collaborative effort with No Kings Collective. And we actually checked out the Girl exhibit, which was amazing. You guys did a great job.
Girl.
I know. I could see, like, the stress, because I remember you were saying that you guys set it up very quickly in a mm-hmm. short amount of time.
Ooh, child, yes.
But it got a lot of recognition, including Congresswoman AOC. You know?
Yes.
She stopped by, yeah. showed you all some support. What was that like?
In this grand scheme of, like, what was meant to happen, I think it was all for that moment, like, literally. Mm. Like, that's how, because I feel like nothing is coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I'm so thankful for with my team is that sometimes when an opportunity arises and we need to move quickly and we don't have the time that we would want, but we all recognize that this is an important thing that we should really just try to rally around making happen, and then we do, and then it works out, and then something like that happens. It's mm-hmm. just like, Jesus Christ, I couldn't have, like, put that together any more seamlessly, not predicting any of it, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, to my knowledge, all the other artists that were involved in that activation had months to prepare. We had, like, a couple of weeks.
Right. Which is crazy.
Which is super
crazy.
Which
I would have never known.
It was super crazy.
I would have never known.
But the timing of it worked out, because we had two options, and then the choice we made also worked out. Because when I talked to Peter, because Peter Chang is my very good friend. Mm-hmm. I've known him since I was in high school, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, I've known him over 10 years. Like, we've been really good friends for a really long time. Like, we go back to, like, when we both worked retail and used to work in the Puma store, and he would break dance in the back room, and I would watch
yes.
him and use my VZW like slide dance. Phone to record
throwback,
like back that far.
This is really dating him right now.
This is really dating all of us. So but he's like my guy, and I was going through something, and I just went to catch up with him on something, and I was really just dumping on him amid, like, them preparing for this whole activation, because I just came to check out the building. Mm-hmm. And it was not even a conversation of, like, he was trying to involve us at that point. But then after the conversation, and I was telling him about some ideas that I was planning for with Girdle that were future, he was like, could y'all be ready to, like, activate for this in the next couple of weeks? And I was like, sir,
did you even think, like, I don't know if I could do this?
No.
Oh.
And I just, no, I mean, no, like, I didn't think, I wasn't sure if we could or not, but okay. I also know that I've seen us show up for ourselves, so I felt like, you know, if we made the right choice, we could do it. And he gave us two options. He was like, you can take this really tiny room that's not very big, or you could take, like, this much bigger space and try to make it something. And I was like, I know we can't handle that big space right now in this short period of time. We don't have enough resources or money. I don't have time to get sponsors, like, nothing. Like, we're really doing all this ourselves. So I was just like, I would rather take the smaller option and knock it out the park uh-huh. instead of, like, this bigger space and then it be bare and weak and not impactful at all. And it was the right decision, and they helped us, because, you know, they did, like, the one color block wall for us, because they were handling, like, the wall paint in the whole activation, so that mm-hmm. was, like, super helpful. And then Trap had a portrait series that she already had done. She just had to get some of the portraits redone, because mm-hmm. she sold a few of them. Mm-hmm. She did that, and then her wall was ready to go. Chris Pirate jumped in at the last minute and did our mural for us on the other wall. And then it was my first time showing anything that I ever made.
Mm-hmm. And also, people that are listening that are not from DC, these are amazing DC artist Damo was mentioning.
Yeah, like Chris Pirate's amazing, and he just came back to DC, and literally, like, that week he was just coming back. Like, he had just got back into the city. So for me, it was, like, kind of scary, because I'd never shown anything that I made before.
Right, which is nerve-wracking.
It was super nerve-wracking, and I had, like, error.
Hey, Cardi.
I had, like, a really dumb, like, newbie error that I made with the setup. that like almost caused a thing between Chris and I, and I had to like rectify that because he and I had like just met, and like it's like, shit, I gotta fix this,
right?
But then like it was fine because he's cool and he gets like when you're doing something new,
right,
mistakes are bound to happen, especially right, when you're rushing,
right?
And it just it came together like really beautifully. I felt like, yes, our installation was like one of the most talked about.
It was,
I thought it was so striking, the colorways, the imaging, obviously everything about it, I don't know, to me stood out. I mean, all the installations were amazing, not to discount the quality of work that was
in, but
that,
just hearing the story, but, and how limited time that you all had, and yeah, you were able to put it together, and you guys made a wise decision to use a smaller space,
yeah,
because quality over quantity, like,
right,
you have all this space and then you're just trying to fill it up, and then, right, you're not going to be proud of it because you were like kind of scrambling,
right?
That was really
good foresight, yeah. For sure.
I mean, for me it's always about sometimes less is more, mm-hmm, right? And that's very true. And then also, I have like a few mantras. A main one is I'm never in a rush to do something wrong. So if like the timing of something doesn't work out and we're not supposed to do it, then we just won't do it. Like, current example, we were supposed to do our 1 year party this summer, mm-hmm, but I just was like, I don't feel like it. We're not going to do it. Like, we can do it whenever we feel like it.
Right.
As long as it happens this year, I don't care.
Right.
Because we want to do it right.
Right.
So we're not in a rush to do it this summer just to make it happen in a specific time frame. When we literally could do it any time this year and it wouldn't fucking matter.
It would still be within the year.
Right. So. In this case, it was like less is more. It's like, we don't need to take up this big space just because it would seem cooler to take up, oh, we have this massive space. It's like, no, it's whack if you have this big space and you're not fully activating it, versus if you have like this more intimate space that looks amazing versus like shit being all spread out. It's like,
yeah,
it's like when a girl has like real long hair but her ends are split. It's like, sis,
oh my gosh,
just
yes,
cut them off. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
absolutely, absolutely. I totally feel that. So, I mean, congratulations on the, you know, the success thus far of Gorilla, and we're excited to see you all progress as an agency.
Thank you.
But this feels like a good time to take a quick break. We have our soul pick of the week. It's called Sandstorm by Mariba featuring JID. We'll be right back. This is Just Soul Radio.
Hey.
We were low, we were high, Jekyll Hyde, I still stay by your side. You know I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. I was wrong, you was right, justified, I was playing with fire. What a divide, 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 divide. Good God, you niggas are crazy. Justified the feeling, that's all we do. Inside is killing me, baby. Outside, I'm cucumber goo. We might just really be crazy.
Peace, peace. Welcome back to Disoul Radio. It's Aryam
and Yodit
bringing you music, culture, and everything under the sun. You guys are listening to our soul pick of the week by Mariba. It's called Sandstorm featuring JID. Such a great track. I love her.
I love her.
She's glowing up.
Amazing, yeah.
And if you are an artist, if you're a producer, a singer, songwriter in a band, and you want to be featured on our soul pick of the week, just hashtag soul pick on Instagram and Twitter, and we'll look out for you and your music.
Plug, plug, plug.
Speaking of music, we have a very musically inclined person in the building. We have Damo, our special guest. She's been great so far. We've been chopping it up about all her ventures thus far.
Rambling.
How are you feeling?
Rambling about them. I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. I'm happy to have you because I'm learning. We're learning a lot about
whatever.
Everything you have to offer.
It's true. But I just want to
go back a little bit until we go a little bit forward. So let's talk a little bit about you and your start as a DJ, because I've known you to be a DJ, but I did not know your start and how you really got into it.
Well, I will like keep it a buck with y'all. When I first started DJing, it wasn't because I planned to be a professional DJ. It was really a creative outlet at the time. I was super depressed. Super duper depressed. I went through a really shitty breakup. And it was like, and I mean, I've been through shitty breakups. We've all been through shitty breakups. But this one was really, really bad. And I had never been, it was like a combination of things that happened that put me in such a negative place that if I didn't have an outlet, I don't know, I honestly don't know if I would still be here, just being completely frank. And I haven't really said that out loud a lot of times, but I'm fine with it now because I kind of have peace with it. But DJing was the thing that really saved me at that time from being on any kind of medications or anything that could have really, you know, affected me health-wise, physically. I was really scared of that because I had, like, gone to see a therapist, a psychiatrist. All they want to do is put you on drugs. So I was just like, okay, I'm not going to do this. I had really freaked my mom out with that. And she was just like, I'm not here for these drugs. Like, you got to figure this out. And I was just like, okay, sis, because, you know, moms be knowing.
They do.
And I'm literally at that age where I just be trying to listen to her because sis, just, she just be knowing, you know? Yeah. Like, you can't even just hate on your mama because she just know. So
you get it now.
Yeah.
Not when you're
But
younger.
It take a minute. It took a minute, you know? But we at this age now. She's like, you know what? She said what she said.
Yes. She probably loves it now.
So, and I had started DJing prior to that, but I hadn't delved into it because I still was working a 9-to-5. I used to be a whole environmental analyst at the U.S. Department of Energy for 7 years.
Wow, I would have never thought.
Yes, it's my. I have an almost degree. in energy and sustainability policy. The reason I didn't finish is because I went into that depressive state and then never went back.
Okay.
I literally have like 3 classes. I may finish it one day when I feel like it. I was an environmental analyst for the U.S. Department of Energy for 7 years. I was still working there when this thing happened. And I was going to school at the same time. And I also was still working with another collective part-time. So I was juggling a lot. And I was never giving DJing at the time my full attention because I wasn't looking to it to be a transition into another profession. It literally was just like my outlet at the time. And this was like 3 or 4 years ago. So what ended up happening is like when that thing happened that sent me kind of in a spiral, I quit school. I wasn't really giving a shit about my job. And my job stuff changed because the administration also changed at the same time. So Obama left, Trump came in, and then my work also changed. So my professional setting completely got flipped on its head. All of the shit that I used to work on, no one cared about anymore.
Almost forced into this transition.
Like, a little bit. I mean, I could have stayed. Like a lot of government employees do. They just kind of hang out. Like, you know, like their work. If they stop caring about their work, their job doesn't go away. They just put them in some corner and they still make whatever they make. I was making six figures. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they put them in whatever office somewhere and then you're just bullshitting your day away. And that was killing me as well.
Right.
So
your spirit.
Like that was universe, murdering my
spirit. The
universe
was like shifting for you. Yeah.
So just the shifts of all the things happening in my life at the time, I was taking them negatively because they felt bad, right? Like all of those things felt really shitty. And I was just
you're seeing it at a micro level. You're like, okay, why is all these things happening to me? You're not seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah. And like months apart.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, all right, like I can't deal with this. I had a family thing. So it was like, and I feel like things do happen in threes. So there was like a trifecta. I had like this relationship thing fall down. I had my professional environment really change and not be productive for me. And then I had a family matter that really like shifted me as well. So I was just like, fuck, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on. And it really like, again, like I had gone into this really bad spiral for a little while. And then finally I just was like, I'm going to pour all my energy into this fucking controller because like, because that's what I had. Like, that's what I started with.
It was, and
like,
is this something that you picked up or you always kind of delved into it?
So I had been like toying with the idea for years. Cause like, you know, I worked with this other collective. So I've been in the event space. I've been in the party space for years. I used to be part of Rock Creek Social Club. I am not any longer.
Oh, okay.
but I used to be for, again, like 7 years. So I was with them for a really long time. And I had been playing with the idea, but never fully delved into it because, one, I just didn't feel encouraged. I wasn't creating time for it at the, back then. I, like I said, schoolwork, whatever excuses mm-hmm. I was making. I also didn't think I could do it. Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't think that I didn't see any women around me who were DJs at the time.
Right.
There were no examples for me. All right. of my media examples were men.
Right.
So, And at the time, like before I really started to work on it myself, it's not like they were encouraging me. They weren't. Mm-hmm. So the first woman I ever spoke to was actually Farrah Fawcett. And okay. she was the first woman who ever encouraged me. She said, you can fucking do it. Like, mm-hmm. go after it. You know yeah. what I'm saying? She was always really positive and supportive before I really had any skills at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, once I kind of got into this episode, I really poured into it. And just gave it all of my time. Like, I took that fucking controller to my office a few times. Like, mm-hmm. that bitch was at my desk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would close my door out. And be like, this is what I'm doing, sis. I would do, like, an hour of work a day. And, like, I'm working on this mix. Or I'm, like, practicing this whatever.
Wow, multi...
It was really ridiculous. Like, if anyone would have caught me doing that, I'm really wondering what would have happened. But also, no, at the time, because my position has shifted so much... Like, no one was paying attention to what I was doing. So I was just like, okay, sis, I'm about to do what I want to do.
So maximizing your time while you're there.
So, first of all, thank you so much for being so transparent about that transition.
It's not all cool. Like, people yeah. think this shit is sweet now. Like, you got to yeah. know, like...
how you get there.
Yeah. I mean,
so we
yeah.
really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Ariam earlier. The whole, like, now that you're a DJ and you're an event curator and you're an event producer, essentially... you have to wear a lot of hats. And so I was telling Ariam, I was like, I could never really see myself doing that because I don't think I have the mental real estate to like juggle all these things. And like, I feel like I would have anxiety and stuff like that. So what practices do you take, what like measures do you take for your own, you know, to get a handle on your mental health, considering like what you're doing could be taxing at times?
That's a good question. I do it really poorly. I don't know.
It's something you can't work
on. I mean,
on,
help is the first thing. I think that what a lot of people like me who are in positions of leadership, whether it's people or themselves, mm-hmm. We tend to do everything by ourselves. And I have learned a long time ago that that is not productive. If you're trying to elevate and grow,
mm-hmm.
You are going to need help and people who you trust to support you in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not doing everything by yourself. And then however that works, like whatever that help looks like, however you structure it, if you're able to, you know, support those people as well, that's really what Girla is, to be honest. Once we saw the need, it was like, okay, I need people who can help facilitate this work because I can't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
My own DJ schedule is hard enough to manage, let alone like the entire programming of a collective mm-hmm. now agency
mm-hmm.
that is going to require a lot of moving parts. And I'm the heavy lift of it, but I'm not doing everything on my own.
Right.
So
you still have a team.
I'm super duper yeah. thankful for, Timbita Solomon, Trap Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I've known her for years and I've contracted her for design work for years, mm-hmm. but she and I are literally the same person. Like, she is the same person in art and illustration as I am in DJing.
Right.
She moves in the same way.
Right.
She's just as professional, and she's on the same level as I am. And we understand each other like it's almost like telekinetic. It's really weird
right.
and scary, but it's in a good way, though, because it's like,
way,
I don't
yeah.
know how, like,
that,
I would,
though.
Yeah, like,
you
we
really
work so
do.
Well together, because when something changes, it's just a quick turn for she and I. She's just like, okay, so then what's the plan B? She'll pitch something, and if I see a hole in it, I'll point it out, and then she'll be like, yeah, I feel you on that, and she trusts me, and vice versa. So like, if I pitch something and it has a hole in it,
mm-hmm.
she'll do the same thing. She's like, design wise, like, I don't know if that's gonna work. So that pass back is perfect. And
mm-hmm.
then I have Kelsey Glass, who's like a PR maven in this city. She's just like like her own little engine that just runs so many things. I don't know how she juggles them herself, but what she brings to our team is that, like, she brings that know-how on top of her personality on our podcast and hosting and stuff, where
mm-hmm.
she holds down so many things. And then there's Nicole Garter, and then we have our DJs, you know, like Marley and Maine
mm-hmm.
and Crystal, and then we have Milani, you know. So like, our girls, like, they know when to show up and they know what time it is. And I'm thankful for them. And it's just about like creating structure and guidance so that everyone knows what direction they're firing, so
yeah.
we can shoot at the same time.
Productivity at its finest.
When you find your tribe, it's something like it.
It's hard, sis,
yeah.
though, because we have peaks and valleys.
And
you know?
Can see it. You can see it. Just oozes out of you all. Like, you guys really, you like, you're are. A collective, but, like, you seem such, like, a family, like, dynamic.
Y'all We're
really,
building that, because a lot of them didn't know each other. You know, mm-hmm. I kind of threw them in a bag and was like, okay.
And that's another thing. You never know.
Let's all be friends and also, like, work together and get these checks.
Yes. That's what's up.
So I think that, like, I appreciate all of their ability to build their own relationships with one another without me having to necessarily hold their hands. Mm-hmm. And then also just being respectful and understanding of each other's, like, little quirkiness and nuances, because, like, I'm annoying. You know what I'm saying? I talk a lot. I preach a lot. I dig into people's shit because I need to know what is going on with all of my people. Like, I need to know, what are y'all doing? How can we equally be supportive of whatever your projects are apart mm-hmm. from Girla? How can Girla support it if it makes sense? Mm-hmm. So I be prying and shit. I need to know, like, personally, like, are you good, sis? Because if you're not, like, you need to communicate so that we know when you fall off the radar, it's not because you don't fuck with us. It's because, oh, no, you're going through something and we need to give you some room. You know what I'm saying? So it's, like, that kind of shit. And we just try to be respectful because our dynamic is very much based on, like, okay, when we have contracts, then our team is getting paid, right? Because that contract is facilitating our mm-hmm. team's work, mm-hmm. right? But when we're producing our own work, sometimes it's not because mm-hmm. we're self-starting. So depending mm-hmm. on, like, how much we put aside for ourselves and whatever the case may be, then you're working for free. So it's like, people gotta want to do that. You know, it's a combination of, like, all right, we're getting these gigs together, but also, like, we're facilitating this other stuff together that's about, like, us, which is separate, right? So they got to want to work together.
Exactly.
And I think for the most part, everybody does, which is beautiful and amazing. And again, like, we started with a group of people who some have, you know, fallen off. And that's okay, you know, because everything doesn't work for everybody. But we still love those women, you know.
So what I like about Girla is that it's not just solely about, you know, I guess, like, music and parties and events. It's also about movements, right? And you guys are very much involved in the Don't Mute DC you know, movement that we had specifically over the summer.
I would say I was involved in it. I didn't put Girla in it yet. Mm-hmm. Just because there were a lot of nuances around Don't Mute DC. There's, like, multiple entities that were involved, I feel like, in trying to highlight what was going on in the mm-hmm. city. And I think that they all kind of had their own ways about going about it. And I'm supportive of them all, right?
Right.
But yeah, like, we care about social issues in general.
Yeah, exactly.
So any kind of social issue, we try to make sure that we're engaging in some substantive way. Mm-hmm. So, like, anything obviously that affects women and stuff going on in the city, we definitely try to tap into. So members of our team were definitely, like, around, you know, like, for sure. I was definitely involved mm-hmm. for sure. I definitely helped with some of the programming of some of the, I'm saying some way many times, too many times.
You're fine.
Pop-ups at 14th and U mm-hmm. With Long Live Go-Go DC, which mm-hmm. is a separate group. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, that was a monumental, I think, historical time in the city mm-hmm. this past spring with all of that.
I mean, it definitely was. It, you know, reminded, you know, newer gentrifiers that the sound that's always been here is not going anywhere. And it's just, it's important to keep a pulse on these, you know, these topics and these, you know, events and movements that do exist in DC. Because, you know, Girla, I can see being this very much, like, universal experience. But at the end of the day, we're rooted from DC, mm-hmm. and we have to remember to always keep ties with that.
That will always be the case. Exactly. Everything that we do will always generate from here first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And then it will spin out into other places, which will happen. That is my objective, because there are Girla like groups in different cities. Like, for example, my girl DJ Oso, she does Bounce That in mm-hmm. ATL.
Oh, from Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I like her.
And she's in Atlanta, but mm-hmm. she's actually from Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's actually from Canada, but she's dope. And I really, really, really fuck with her. We had a long conversation recently just about what she's building, because she's going through what we went through last summer. Like, mm-hmm. she just started this party this year, mm-hmm. and then it, like, took off really fast. And then it's starting to generate all these other things off of it, because people are seeing the value in her brand and what she's building mm-hmm. for herself as a DJ, and then also for this event, and however she's going to spend that out and facilitate other things. So I think that it's going to be, for us, it's going to be about building a network in other cities with other women of color who lead organizations that do similar work, so that we can be expansive across different markets. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the objective is to encompass multiple things as far as culture goes, because culture includes art and music, and mm-hmm. then also, like, social issues,
right?
So that we can rally behind the people that are doing that work as well.
Yeah. And I like this communal element that you guys possess with, like you were saying, like you talk to other people that are starting up and it's just, there's an innate level of support that you guys have for other entities and other collectives. And I really appreciate that because, you know, you never really know how people will respond to what's out there in the market. But if you're working and building together, it's only going to position you to have a greater impact on the culture.
I feel like I'm moving in the exact opposite of the people before us who used to be gatekeepers in a sense of like they felt like they have all the tools and all the connections and network, and instead of actually like, you know, sourcing them out to people and just putting them in touch with these things or giving them the information they need to flourish, they would keep them really close to their their chest so that they could kind of control them. And that doesn't work for me. You know what I'm saying? Also, I don't have time for that. I have other shit to do. You know what I'm saying? So I would much rather like put you in touch. Like I'll make an example of that. Like I'm now curating with the Kennedy Center, which is, you know,
congratulations. That's awesome.
I'm still absorbing that.
That's amazing.
When I went and like did the walkthrough, I literally cried like a fucking bitch. And I was just like, just who processing are you? This. Like, I'm losing all my thug points. Like, Leonard are not going to rep me no more because I'm crying at the Kennedy Center. But it's also because we're going to get back.
It's the Kennedy Center.
It's the Kennedy Center, but also because they're a super white institution. They don't have a lot of black programmers. They have not. They're opening this new center that's meant to be community based. And just to be invited back there after having my last experience coming there, which was in high school, I was supposed to go and I couldn't because it was a formal event. I didn't have clothes for it and my mom didn't have money to buy something for me to go. Wow. And I was just like, damn, that's, and I hadn't put that together that the last time that I was supposed to come here, I was like 15 and I couldn't come. And then I never came back. Never tried to come back there for anything, and I never felt welcomed back into the space. I never felt like our culture natively or just on a just black culture was represented well there on their main stage anyway. And like that always made me feel some type of way. So to be invited back as a paid curator.
Yes, girl.
I was like, oh, we finna bring the whole hood in here.
Yes.
But stepping back, because the reason I brought that up is because they called me the other day because they had another event that they wanted me to do separate from what I'm programming. And it was Caribbean based. And I said, I would love to DJ that, but actually that doesn't make sense. K-Meta should do it. You know what I'm saying? He has a whole organization, everything nice that is centric around this. And not only just, you know, Caribbean music, but anything that's Afro related. Like, anything Afrocentric, that's his house. You know what I'm saying? As much as I play some of that shit and I love it, you know, that's not my place. I don't live close to it as he does. Like, he holds it up in the city. I was like, so if anyone should do it, it should be him.
Make sense,
and I know that they wanted a woman. And I was like, that's great. He'll find a girl. He will find a girl and they will come and do it. And I was like, so, you know, he knows plenty of women in the space. He will find a girl. They will come and do it. And it's just like shit like that where I could have like tried to keep that close to me or did it myself. Which
you're able
been,
to be like this.
No, it's like I know my place. Sis, and also like God finna bless me in real time, so I can, I have no problem like divvying the shit out to people. It's like you can holler at him for
that
this.
Is such a good point. Like, you realize a generational divide with creativity.
But if it was, if it were, I could name five dudes right now. If it was someone else, it would be like, oh yeah, I can do it. Like, or oh yeah, we can facilitate that, or oh yeah, whatever.
And then it just
and it wouldn't make sense. And that's kind of why I get frustrated with people who end up looking like vultures when they put on events like that, because that has happened in this city where they're, where it is these people who are like not close to the culture or white, whatever the case is. And I'm sorry, but that's just like, that's the reality. Like you don't, you're not natively from this. You have, you don't have a reputation of holding up this particular genre of music in this city or anywhere for that matter. And to throw events that are like themed on certain cultures frustrates me sometimes when there are individuals doing them when there are individuals doing them that are not innately close to them. So like,
very true.
If I can ever hold somebody up who should be positioned for something, because the other thing, that event was
but it just
sister
makes it more.
Sister Nancy, do y'all know who she is? Sister Nancy. So that event was also with Sister Nancy. So I was like, K-Man is gonna lose his shit. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, he has to do
she's
this
a legend.
She's a legend, and I know that, and I know who she is, but I don't have as much as a close relationship to her in her, in her legendary status as he does, like
he would,
I,
like it would just make
I
more
know
sense.
What it's gonna mean to him and his organization, what he's building. So I'm just like, for that reason, like I want to make sure that I'm putting the real people in play whenever I get a chance. So like that's what that means to me, because I equally get frustrated when there are people who aren't representing the way that he does naturally and just really trying to latch onto something because you think it's cool or cute.
No, this is great.
This is
People need to take people notes to on this.
So far from what we've learned from this conversation, less is more. There's room for all of us.
Yes.
And what did you say? You said don't rush to
do something wrong.
Yeah, don't rush to do something wrong.
Don't rush to do it wrong.
I love that.
Don't rush to do it wrong. Sometimes you need some more time. Mm-hmm. But you have to, like, gauge it. It's like, bitch, are you just dragging your feet, or do you actually need more time? You know, mm-hmm. in the case of our 1 year, I know that it's a combination of both. I drag my feet a little bit, but also we need more time, and we have to do it right.
Right.
We have something else we're planning for 2020 that I wanted to do this year, and it's a combination of both. We dragged our feet a little bit, and we could have done it this year, but actually everything that we've done this year really leads us up to what it will be in 2020. So it's like, you can't take forever.
Right.
Right? But also, like, if you need more time, take some time.
Just you can accept that.
Yes. Hey, that's okay.
It's only going to help you.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, Dama, we're very, very proud of how far you've come from making mixes in your 9-to-5 to DJing many festivals and events, and also helping build Gorilla. I cannot wait to see what is next in the future. I know you have a lot planned, but you can't speak on it yet.
I can't.
So we'll be waiting for you guys. But yes, thank you so much for just letting us get to know a little bit more about you and what you do and how many hats you really wear.
Yeah, like, I appreciate you having me here, honestly.
Yeah, but guys, this feels like the end of our show.
I know. We can talk. We can keep going on and on. You have to come back.
I know.
And we'll have to do like a part two.
There's too many things going on, so honestly.
We definitely need a 2020 recap.
One thing I'll throw out is September 7th. We do the opening of the Reach Center with the Kennedy Center. And we haven't announced it yet, like, on our socials, mm-hmm. but it's out there for the people to know.
But
so.
you heard it first on Disoul Radio.
You did.
Yes. Hey. We got it here live. So if anyone wants to keep up with Gorilla and all their efforts, how do they keep in contact?
Instagram is the best way, and mm-hmm. also subscribing to our newsletter, because we send like stuff ahead sometimes in our newsletter, so mm-hmm. when we get access to tickets or whatever. But our Instagram is Gorilla with 3 A's .world, and you can catch up and get into the newsletter subscription, everything there. Mm-hmm. Our podcast is 1-800-GORILLA, so you can just Google that. I think it's on Mixcloud. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then for you, where are your old your socials as
so
Damo.
The gag for Damo, because people frequently mistake me and call me Dora, because my social media is Dora Winifred.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So
it is.
My social media is...
Not going to lie, I thought that once in the past.
It's okay. Everyone does. I don't even get upset about it. My social media is at Dora, like the Explorer, .Winifred, W-I-N-I, Fred. And first of all, I'm going to fire anybody up who doesn't know this. Dora Winifred is DW's full name from Arthur.
What?
Oh, yes. My gosh. Go ahead. We need like a mind blown. He's the man.
Yeah, Jack is the man. So
Dora Winifred. Do you not remember that episode where Arthur gets like really mad at her for something, and he like yells her name? He's like, Dora Winifred. And he like yells at her.
Yo.
And that's her full name. So like the gag is, so my name's Damo, which is short for Dominique. Mm-hmm. My full name is Dominique Wells. So my initials are DW.
Oh, so that's convenient.
It's a very long chain that I really enjoy explaining. I'm going to post this very soon, because I have a lot of new followers who don't know this, and they just think my name is Dora.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny. I don't care to change my Instagram yet, because literally I can't get my name to save my life. There's a whole company called Damo. There's like DJ Damo 1234567 8000. I don't want it. I'm just like, we finna be Dora, and I'm just gonna let this joke live a little longer.
I love that, and I
love a good backstory.
I just got my mind blown.
And she's my spirit cartoon. Like, she's funny as hell.
She is.
She's a little feisty.
Yeah,
and she low key the boss.
She is.
But like, she low key about it.
She's the younger sis, and she's running it.
I don't have to run around flagging that I'm the boss, but bitches know I run shit. Bitches know I run shit. Right.
All right, y'all. You know where to find Dora Winifred.
Now we know.
DW on all platforms. Damo, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For listeners, if you liked our show, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DEUXSOL, and we'll be back same time, same place next week. Till next time. Peace.